it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Femi Abebefe and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
All right, 20 minutes from now, all our bets for tonight in the world of sports, and we have something special coming your way with our friends, the host of BetMGM tonight, the bald freak, Brad Evans. But until then, we are joined right now by our pal, NBC sports betting analyst, co-host of the Deep Dive Pod. He's not bald. He's got awesome, long, long, luxurious hair. The great Drew Dinsick, better known to you and yours as the Whale Capper on Twitter at @whale_capper. My friend, welcome back to the show. What's going on?
You know, just looking for a winner, Nick.
It's not been the most fun start to the season. Drew, you're looking for a winner. What is the bet that you are currently most confident will cash this weekend in the National Football League and why?
Most confident that will cash. The market says my best bet was Jets +7.5 because that is now 6.5, trending 6. Don't ask me why I go to war with the Jets again after what happened against the Bills. But
do you want Tyrod for that bet?
Oh yeah,
do you want
absolutely
Fields?
I would much rather have a unconcussed Tyrod than a concussed Justin Fields out there. If you're asking Fields to get it done without, you know, in trying not to put him in harm's way with the scramble and the running, then you've taken away the most dangerous dimension of his football game. And I would rather he just gets the weekend off. I'm assuming he gets the weekend off. I don't see anything benefiting the Jets by forcing him out there. I don't feel confident in anything right now. I'm not firing with confidence whatsoever. I thought for sure I had a good number when the Titans finally hit +3.5 and it was flat. That's drifted to where it looks like that's going 4. So that's that one's a wild one. I'm getting frisky with a backup quarterback in Cincinnati on the road in Minnesota against the backup quarterback. We're at week 3 and I feel like I'm scraping the bottom.
Do we need an intervention for you right now?
Me? Yeah. No.
Because you sound like you're in the dumps. I'm being honest.
A long way from Maui.
I'm down through 2 weeks. I've had 2 losing weeks in a row to start the season. That's happened before. Like, I'm not completely this isn't the first season I've been betting the NFL where I've lost the first 2 weeks. The way that it's happened specifically with some of my higher staked sides has really been tough to get over. And I feel like as I look overall at my futures portfolio, I look my numbers, like I haven't really changed much outside of the injuries. So it's not like I'm really seeing things play out with certain coaches, with certain teams, with certain quarterbacks where I'm like, well, they caught me by surprise. Really got to make some adjustments there.
So like, it's like I feel like unlucky. I'm kind
of, yeah, I feel like I just kind
of,
yeah,
I feel that way about my betting. I'll be honest. And like, I'm not saying like I should be up $1 billion, but I mean, yeah, it's probably a little unlucky with some of these losses we've had. There's no question about it. And here's the thing about betting. Yeah. We can get unlucky the whole season. It's possible. It could happen again this week. But I want to. Here's what I need you to do. Like, you're Drew effing Dinsick. Hold on. You're the Whale Capper. Been coming on the show for years. Extremely respected member of the sports media, the sports betting media. I need you to at least fake some confidence here, even if you don't.
Oh yeah.
Feel.
Okay. I'm gonna flip the switch. Ready?
Yeah, I need you to flip the switch. And it's not the Jets, because that price is different. What is the bet that you feel most confident in will cash this weekend?
I cannot make sense of the Patriots being dogs to the Steelers, Nick. This makes absolutely zero sense to me. The Steelers team, the defense right now is rated 22nd out of 32 in the NFL. That is Anything surprise you about the way you've changed ratings from the start of the season to now? Yes, I have downgraded the Steelers tremendously. It looks like there is a little bit of a step backwards for TJ Watt, which is honestly a carryover of the performance we saw from him at the end of last season, combined with the fact that there's just not enough difference makers on this team who can at least be available and healthy. The fact that the rushing attack for the Jets was just like they looked like gods out there week one against the Steelers team, and that the Seahawks, who I honestly thought the Seahawks were ready to just quit on Ken Walker, like, it's just not going to happen, Ken. Thanks for coming. And Ken Walker goes out and runs for 100 yards at 5-6 a clip against the Steelers team. So it's literally like, okay, well, if anyone, you know, with a beleaguered rushing attack can just figure out a way to get it going on the ground against the Steelers and put them in negative game states, and then you're asking, Aaron Rodgers, who is very, very susceptible to pressure right now, to make some miracles and come back against teams. Like, this, I think, sets up well for the Patriots to get another win. I liked a lot of what I saw from the Patriots offensively against the Miami Dolphins defense. And I will caveat this with, yes, I know the Miami Dolphins defense did not roster or put a secondary on the field. But the fact that the Patriots kind of like they reined in some of the complexity, they gave Drake May some easier looks, I thought, and in general, did a nice job of kind of carrying over cohesion in the offensive line with some of the run blocking that we saw against a good D line. I would expect that the Patriots can build on that really put the Steelers in a difficult spot in this one. My numbers right now don't love the Patriots. I think they're a minus team overall. But the gap between the Steelers and the Patriots is nil. And the fact that Patriots have some home field advantage here, I think, is enough for me to get involved on the money line. And yes, I am ready to come on next week and complain about Mike Vrabel and some of his in-game decision making. The end of the Patriots-Dolphins game had some coaching decisions that were literally like, yeah, put this in the book of what not to do, type of vibe to them. But that said, just from a talent standpoint, Patriots have the advantage here, and market's still slow catching up to the fact that the Steelers defense potentially washed.
Yeah. The best money line price I could see right now on that game is if you like New England, it's sitting at a plus 110. So make sure you shop around out there. BetMGM has it a plus 105. How about the AFC South clash? We saw the Houston Texans last night fall to Tampa. They're now 0-2. Must win game on Sunday. Don't want to drop to 0-3, especially with the way that Indianapolis looks. Texans, though, 1.5-point underdogs on the road at the Jaguars. Total 44. How are you betting Houston and Jacksonville?
Yeah, dysfunctional offensive line for the Texans. No semblance of a rushing game. You would think that that sets up for an opportunity to get in good with the Jaguars here at the cheap price. But I disagree. I think the Texans are still the better team overall. I think that even with home field advantage, I would make Texans a small favorite here. So I took them on the plus money. Just in general, kind of like the opportunity for the Texans defense to really, continue just to frustrate what's going on with Trevor Lawrence and Liam Cohen right now. The Jaguars have faced now the Panthers and the Bengals defenses this season. They're not good. Neither of those defenses is any good. You could convince me that the Bengals at least can at times generate a bit of a pass rush, but it's not anywhere close to this level that you are now stepping up facing this Texans defense, who is going to have a lot of opportunities to really put Trevor Lawrence in into kind of make decisions quicker mode. You know what Trevor Lawrence has been doing poorly this year? Making good, quick decisions. He is really, really not on, kind of comfortable with what's being asked offensively. The friction between him and Cohen is palpable. And his expected number one receiver in Brian Thomas Jr. is not the player we saw on the field last year. He's not. The drops, the lack of effort, the attitude, the body language, something is up with that guy. And, the fact that it's not clear then who do you go to in the passing game between this next cast of characters is going to be a problem. And I would expect that Texans finally get on the winning side of the ledger in this one in an ugly game. And you know, there were moments where CJ Stroud did some pretty unremarkable things last night, where he threw some passes that were, you know, you'd love to see them. You'd love to have him have another chance at that. Just generally, I think there have been enough highs through 2 weeks, and there is a, you know, learning curve with this offense that you are starting to see dividends with some of the passing concepts. And the Jaguars defense is a problem. It is staring everyone in the face, and nobody is noticing it because they have played, you know, a helpless Panthers team week one, followed up with, you know, largely a backup quarterback week two. And I think Stroud and Nico Collins break out this week, set the wheels in motion to come back a bit in that division, albeit they've dug themselves a nice little hole. Just in general, I think this Texans squad is probably by low right now. And I say this knowing that when we started the season, I was like universe low on Texans. I was off market low, did not think that the market had this team pegged right at all. And the market has since come down to where I was and gone past it to where I think it is an overreaction. This is the way it goes. We're 3 weeks into the season and we got a buy low on a team that I never thought I would be betting on this year.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You better you bet on this Tuesday. Our guest, the Whale Capper, Drew Densick, on Twitter at @whale_capper. We got 5 minutes left. I'd like to hit as many games as possible, Drew. Let's go lightning round here, maybe 30 seconds per. Vikings and Bengals, battle of backup quarterbacks. Carson Wentz for Minnesota, Jake Browning for Cincinnati. Minnesota, a 3-point home favorite, although it looks like this might drop to 2.5. Totals 42. Are you betting Vikings, Bengals? If so, how? 30 seconds.
If you can still get a 3, don't walk, run to the window for the 3. I think Browning and company are going to be just fine against this Vikings team. The Vikings defense right now is a major problem. If they faced a good, complete offense this week with the starting quarterback, there's no chance they would be favored. All of the missing pieces, all the missing bodies, and just in general, the attrition that we've already seen through 2 weeks has really hurt that unit in terms of, you know, just talent. While Carson Wentz may ultimately be fine because Kevin O'Connell is a witch, I don't know that that's happening week one. His super late addition to the team during training camp and his lack of reps with these guys and the fact that he's not going to have a healthy offensive line are all reasons to be very, very doubtful that this is just a clean, easy, entry spot for Carson Wentz with this offense. So I make this game a pick. I think the Vikings are in a very, very bad way right now. And the fact that they have so many important injuries on both sides of the ball and after potentially losing this game to the Bengals have to pack it up and go to Europe for 2 weeks is wild. I don't know how the Vikings get their season back on track. I don't know if they even take McCarthy to Europe, but he really needed those reps in sort of that extended preseason, extended training camp that you get when you're away with the team for a week like that. I think that this ankle injury and his inability to kind of get the reps he needs early in the season is really going to have negative effects on his development. So I didn't think we were going to be here already through week 3 and the injury was maybe it was fluky. Consider me sincerely concerned about the JJ McCarthy era.
3 minutes to go. I want to hit 3 more games here. Eagles and the Rams. The Rams are getting bet right now. This looks like it may come off 3. So Philly's 3.5 for the moment, 44.5. Give me 30 seconds here on Eagles and Rams.
Any more action towards LA here, and I got to bet Philly. I get why people are excited about the Rams right now. I'm excited about the Rams right now. They're like my number 7 team in the NFL. I think the defense is people are watching the film and they're like, oh my God, these guys are young. They're nasty. they don't have really a clear and obvious hole. Like, these guys are good. And, you know, anyone who thought that coming into the season, Matthew Stafford was done, well, he took some sort of magic rejuvenation potion and looks like a much younger and much more ready to play player than anyone anticipated. And so, you know, use your late season rating for Matthew Stafford when you come up with a number for this Rams team. And even with all of that, there is no way I can get to three for this Eagles-Rams team. So the minute it ticks there, I'm betting Eagles minus three. This is a brutal spot for the Rams. They traveled cross country last week to play a Titans team that gave them more of a fight than they expected. They go back to LA. They fly back to Philly this week. They have more travel coming up that you know, that they need to be kind of conscientious of how much they're testing these guys, using their, you know, using their juice in practice. So they could be a little bit less prepared than you would normally want to be in a game like this, just to try to keep the miles off these guys. I the Rams can be competitive. They could win this game. You know, I look at the talent gap between these two teams. I look at my gap in terms of fare between these two teams. I think 3.5 is perfect. So if you're going to give me three, I will take it with the Eagles.
We have 10 seconds for this answer. Broncos or Chargers? Chargers 2.5. What do you like on Sunday? 10 seconds.
Broncos.
Money
not
line?
Like super excited about it. Yeah, money line.
Oh,
if you're going to play it.
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
The most excited I've been all season. Was just annoying. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. I'm not like
Packers,
that excited
Packers
about it, but
Browns,
yeah, Broncos.
Or Browns keep it close.
Packers choose their number. Really.
Kind of like the under of the game. That's interesting. Browns.
You know why you like the under? Because we're going to get a healthy, healthy dose of Mr. Dylan Gabriel in that one.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this is Browns team total under. On Twitter at @whale_capper, NBC Sports, the Deep Dive Podcast. My friend, you're going to smash it this week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, best of luck, guys.
The Whale Capper, Drew Dinsick, joining us on You Better You Bet. On the other side, all our bets for tonight in the world of sports.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.